This is the ODG Apparel Podcast.
Wait, I'm not understanding. Why does an apparel company have a podcast, though?
Because they're that awesome.
What is up, guys? Dave with ODG Apparel. This is our fourth long-form episode. I have the pleasure of interviewing a good friend of mine, Jason Smith, who is a pastor in Mississippi. He actually planted the church I'm currently an elder at, and I attend here in Bradenton, Florida, but has moved back to Mississippi to be kind of in charge of a bunch of church planters and doing his thing in church planning. And so, a good friend of mine, someone who I've followed Jesus alongside of for a few years now, and it's really been a pleasure to kind of interact with him. I'm sure you'll notice he's one of the more gifted communicators that I know, just the way that he weaves his words and illustrations. So I really think you'll enjoy it. Give it a listen. My hope is that it encourages you to follow Jesus better. So give it a listen. Let us know what you think. Hey guys, Dave with ODG Apparel. We are on episode 4. We have good friend and ex-pastor, Jason Smith. He's still a pastor. He's just not my pastor anymore. And so Pastor Jason Smith, he is a pastor in Mississippi now. Jason, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, man? I'm so happy to be here. Again, this is the being called an ex-pastor, it scares me. It's like, oh gosh.
Yeah, it's like a premonition that I'm having.
I think the right word, Dave, is that he is my former pastor.
Former, right? Yeah.
Yeah, former.
I'm not really good with words. I'm still figuring out the English language.
He's my ex-pastor.
So this is like our third extreme. Or fourth try on this podcast. Thank God. I wish like I could do like a blooper reel for how long it's taken us to figure out how to record this podcast. Because we did a whole podcast. We lost it. And then it took us about 20 minutes to get back on the podcast. So anyway, we're here now. We've had a lot of practice.
Ladies and gentlemen, yeah. That's right. If this one stinks, guys, just know that the first one was gold. Oof,
it was money.
It changed my life, and I was the one talking. So I'm just saying that hopefully this one's better. We'll see.
So Jason, kind of introduce yourself to the people listening who've never heard of you, kind of what you're about, what you're doing right now, and kind of how we've even kind of crossed paths a little bit.
All right, sweet. Well, I guess I start with my family. I'm married to my wife, Beth, and she is awesome. We've got 3 kids. My oldest is 20, and she's at Florida State. And then I've got 2 other teenagers, 16 and 15, Silas and Josie. And man, we got started young in our life. My wife and I met in college, kind of started things backwards. When we got married, she was already pregnant. And at that point, I kind of sensed that like ministry for me was over. I thought I kind of like screwed that part up. So I just pursued a life in the military and just figured I'd stay in the military the rest of my life and then maybe go in the business world. And had a pastor when I was about 19 years old and at First Baptist Church, Bellevue, Nebraska, in the middle of nowhere. I was there in the military. Who really challenged me and said that, you know, just because maybe you haven't made the best decisions as a believer doesn't mean you've messed up your call to ministry. So he gave me a shot, and dude, I've been in ministry ever since. I've done student ministry. I did student ministry for 12 years. I've done teaching ministry as well as church planting, and now I am the campus pastor of a church here in Mississippi, Pine Lake Church, and I also partner with the North American Mission Board to help assess church planters all across the United States and Canada.
That's awesome. There it is. That's the story. That's the intro.
Sweet. That's it. My life in about 2 minutes.
So yeah, you planted Good Life. I'm a part of Good Life. I've talked about Good Life a lot here on the podcast and just even everything we do ODG Apparel. So hopefully people have kind of a little context for that. But also, one of the questions that came to mind that I don't think we talked about last time was when your wife's pregnant, you know, and she's not your wife, and you're thinking, man, I don't know if being a pastor is for me now. I kind of messed that up. Is that mm-hmm. just from you, or are there people in your life who are saying things like that?
I think it was mostly me. Now, the voices, I think all of us have that internal voice, and I think that internal voice is made up of a lot of other voices from our past and maybe from our present. So the church that I had come to know Jesus in was a pretty traditional church. So that idea, that understanding of seeing somebody that has fallen be restored, I had never seen before at church. Usually if people messed up, we just never saw them again.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of shunned them. And I don't know if they necessarily were doing that because they like hated the person as much as, man, if you've ever had somebody you know close to you that's messed up and you know, done something that maybe a godly person who's done something that's ungodly, it's hard to know what to do or how to help them. And so I think most people just don't know what to do. And so that's exactly what I had seen growing up. And so I just assumed that was true for me. And also, you know, I was on a scholarship and leaving the school and things like that. A lot of my identity, unfortunately, it's not right, but a lot of my identity as a believer was wrapped up in what I did for God. And so if I wasn't able to do those things anymore because I was leaving the school, I was no longer on that team, I just assumed that my relationship with God was broken. Which, again, I think that's a natural thing for people if you don't like understand the gospel and you don't believe the gospel every day for your life. And so yeah, I mean, I think it was mostly internal, but then it didn't help when I got back home to South Florida and started connecting with some people that I'd known and the kind of got the cold shoulder from them. And again, I don't look back on that and am not angry with them. I just honestly realized that, man, if you don't walk in the gospel every day for your own life, it's impossible for you to share the gospel with other people. And if you don't live in the grace of Jesus every day in your life, then it's impossible for you to share that same grace with other people.
Man, it's so, the gospel is so much dirtier than we give it credit for, right? And I think we misunderstand how big God is when he says things in scripture like, you know, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. And just how, man, God using that pregnancy that you would say, man, we were making poor decisions. But then you just said the phrase, but man, he used it to shift some things in my own life that now I understand the gospel more. And how many things will happen like that where we'll stand before God and go, man, I'm so thankful that that thing happened that at the time was really not a good thing, right? Like not, man, I wish I wasn't in sin or I wish I wasn't this, but like, man, God is so able to use the messed up kind of broken things that we do in our life that it's like it just humbles me even as we're talking about this. It's so easy to ignore that when it's happening and to just beat yourself up and to feel a million different ways about it. But man, oh man, the gospel is just so much more raw than that, right? Does that make sense what I'm saying, what I'm kind of getting at?
No, man, it really does. And it reminds me, I think if somebody could hear this and they're either young in their faith or they don't believe yet, you might be out there thinking, man, I love ODG apparel. I rep the clothing all the time because it is awesome. The other day I was just repping my Bear Fruit sweatshirt and I was getting multiple looks from people.
But that was just because your hair was on point, not because you're...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But no, I mean, you know, so you might hear this and you think, whoa, okay, if I really experience the grace of God by messing up, why don't I just keep messing up? Yeah. You know, and, you know, Paul addressed that in the scripture, like, just because the grace of God flows through our mistakes doesn't mean we should purposely make mistakes to enjoy his grace. I mean, that's not the way it works. However, just whenever you do find yourself either behaving or, you know, in a situation that you didn't assume that you would ever be in, just don't lose hope. I mean, God's grace is bigger than that. There's a song, I won't sing it for you because it's kind of not cheesy.
Just sing it.
I'm not going to. No, not for this audience, because it's cheesy 90s, like R&B style Christian music, which I'm sure no one on this
the
call
The only
would
music you listen to.
Exactly. True. So, no, I've gotten into country, but that's another story. We'll talk about that. That's another podcast. You know, it says, no fault, no wrong, no dark of night could ever hide me from your sight. I could not fall or climb farther than your grace can reach. And just great words to a song. And I remember when I sang that song, it was, you know, probably about a year and a half after that pastor had really given me a chance and kind of restored me and the opportunity to serve in the local church. And I sang that song, and it was probably the first time, because I'd always sang, but it was probably the first time I ever sang a song in which it didn't matter how many people were listening to me. It didn't matter what notes I hit. None of that mattered. In my heart, I was really telling my story in that song, you know? So dude, it's powerful. God's grace is beautiful. So Yeah, man, it was been cool. And the crazy thing about it, Dave, is that the very thing I feared, which was, making some type of mistake, because the truth is, let's just be honest. There's a lot of teenagers who are sexually active, but not every teenager, gets their girlfriend pregnant, and then now all of a sudden you face it the rest of your life that this is forever. My wife and I will be married the same amount of years that we have a child.
Yeah,
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's like that never goes away. You know what I mean? So, but all that to say is, when we're in the middle of making these decisions and we do these things we never thought we would ever do, God's grace is there and it meets us right where we are. And man, it's so humbling. And then the very thing that I thought would stop me from being able to minister to students, because, oh man, how am I going to lead them to live in purity and live the life God's called them to live when I didn't do that? That exact fear was actually the strength of the ministry, which was many of the students had already messed up, had already failed, and felt like they didn't belong. And so when I was able to share with them, hey, I have messed up too, but God's grace is bigger and he's given me another chance, it really, throughout the life in ministry, specifically my time in student ministry, more kids who felt on the outside looking in began to embrace and enjoy God's grace than ever before. If I had not gone through that experience and been able to speak, to it from my experience.
It's mind-blowing to me how easy it is to miss this, to miss that the gospel is really good news, right? The thing that I've been sharing everywhere and to everyone recently is just, man, if the gospel doesn't make you breathe deep a sigh of relief, then you're not believing it right. You're missing something. Like if you don't go, oh, thank God, then it's not the gospel. If it feels something other than that, you're totally missing it. It's just not, the good news is good news. And an illustration I think of that has always been something I long for, especially, Good Life here in Florida, something we talk about is sharing life together. I've always longed to be a part of a community that could handle quote unquote big sin well, and with the gospel in mind, right? That, the families that are connected who are sharing life together and, God forbid, let's say that there's adultery. And just watch, I would love to be a part of a community that could handle that because it's so easy for there to be sins like that, like you talked about earlier, that the church goes, okay, that's the line, right? We could extend the gospel to you if this were pornography or if this were sort of a hidden sin. But man, that's the line where, it's just not, we can't extend grace here or we don't know how to. And obviously that is, I'm not saying that I would just be so good at this, but just the idea of praying and longing for a community of people who know how to use the gospel and to believe the gospel in the hardest moments, in the hardest sins, in the deepest tragedies, in the deepest sufferings, because it's always this sigh of relief. It's always this grace in this gospel. Yeah, it's as I mature, I see that more and more every day. Just the gospel is for sinners. The gospel is for really messed up, broken people, and that's okay. We can be honest with ourselves with who we are and not feel like, even for me, like my story for, I feel like that moment, you could call it whatever you want to call it, but that moment I feel like where the spirit really shook me, right? Where I felt like I am different now. Like this, prior to this moment, I did not know Jesus, and after this moment, I knew Jesus. I knew something of just of this Jesus. And it's so funny because it was such a weird situation, but I'm in college and I'm in the shower and the song is playing on my phone in the shower, Times by 10th Avenue North. I don't know if you've ever heard it.
No, man, what an awesome song.
Right? And just well, there's a line in there. It's like, even when you hate me, like even those times, like I'm pursuing you, like I'm coming for you, my love will continue on. And I was just, it like struck me for the first moment that, wow, Christ is pursuing me. It's not like a 50-50. And I literally, like, my soul, like, it got swallowed up in that. And I was, like, blown away by it. And the funny part is, I was like, Lord, like, I want to pursue you. Like, I want to follow you. I want to stop living for myself. And literally 30 seconds later, one of my roommates thought it would be funny to, like, scare me in the shower. And so I'm weeping in the shower because of the gospel and literally scared the living daylights out of me. And so that's that's my conversion story, as I got scared this Holy Spirit right out of me after that. But yeah, no, just dude, that I idea love that. Of the gospel really does save us even when we don't want it to. You know, even when we're running, man, it's so pursuing good. Us, right?
Yeah, man. So I was, you know, you were talking about, you know, this, the grace and this love and how, you know, huge and big the gospel is. Just this morning, as I was reading, I follow a daily reading plan. And, you know, I would just encourage anyone who's listening to do that. And that's so, the reason it's so important is because whenever you're, you know, making decisions in your life, whether it's a big decision or small decision, whether it's a decision about relationships or a job or your future, or should I buy this or not buy this, all those kind of decisions we make on a day-to-day basis. For me, at least in my life, if I have a daily reading plan in the scripture, then God's just speaking to me every day. And then decisions, I have so much more wisdom when I'm making those decisions versus not communicating with God on a day-to-day basis, not being in his word. And then when I have to make a decision, I go and I search his word to try to find the answer that I'm looking for. And that can be a scary thing, Dave, because if you know the Bible, then you know, if you already know what you want, then you'll find the Bible verses that match what you want.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Oh, for sure.
But if you're just pursuing him and you're just, you know, the ultimate goal isn't to find the answer to an issue in your life. The ultimate goal is just to find Jesus. And as you find Jesus, then the other things, you have the best clarity to make those decisions. But anyway, that's my
aside before you jump into kind of what you've been reading, yeah. Is the thing I'm always telling people is, man, that is one less decision or one less hurdle that you need to jump over to be in the Word. Mm. Right? I know of myself, I'm such a lazy sinner sometimes, that it's so easy for me to find something to distract me from the word, right? Especially if I don't know what I'm going to read. If I feel like there's this big hurdle of figuring out, man, I could read my Bible, I don't even know what I'm going to read, then it's like, ugh, whatever. But if I know the second I open my Bible up where I'm headed, it's just one less thing practically that the enemy could use to distract me
and
to like turn me towards, you know, something, just a time waster or whatever it may be.
No, that's so good. Well, this morning, man, I was reading in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, and we were talking about the God's grace. And I think before I read the passage, I think it's important for everyone hearing to know that sometimes we think, I just wish God would show me his love. If God would fix my parents' marriage, then God would show me his love. Or if God would fix this problem that I'm facing in my life, then God would really show me his love. Or if he would change my circumstance or situation, or get me into that college, or get me that scholarship, or get me that job, or make sure that my child is born healthy, or, you know, all these things that we say, if God showed up here, if he fixed this, if he helped me, then I would know he loves me. But listen to what 1 John 4:9 says. It says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And the idea, Dave, is that if we're looking to find the love of God, instead of looking into your present day circumstances to see if God is going to fix something, or looking to the future to see if God's going to open up a path for you, or open a door for a new career, a new job, a new, you know, relationship, whatever, why don't we look back to the gospel and say, the greatest news in the whole world, the greatest extension of God's love was proven 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross for us. And I think what's so cool about this is it doesn't only say that God's love was made manifest by sending his only son. He then says, so that we might live through him, which is also speaking of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just saying, if you're on this call and you're wondering if God loves you, let me just tell you, you don't have to wonder anymore. The gospel is true. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paid at the greatest expense of his life to meet the greatest need of our life, which was that we were disconnected from God, and met our greatest need through doing that. And then topped it off by sending us the Holy Spirit so that we could live in him on a day-to-day basis. That the gospel isn't just something that we look back to in the past and we appreciate, but we actually are able to live in the power of the resurrected Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I know that sounds crazy. I know it sounds really theological. But man, I'm just telling you, if you're listening to this podcast and you're wondering, does God love me? The answer is yes. And how do you know that? Well, the gospel. You know, the power of Jesus meeting our greatest need. You know, Dave, if love truly is meeting someone's need at our own expense, if that really is love, right? And love's not a feeling. Hopefully you guys have grasped that by now. Love is an action. If love is found in meeting someone's need at our expense, then the greatest love is when the greatest need is met at the greatest expense. And that's the gospel. The greatest need of mankind being separated from God because of our sin, being met, that need being met by the greatest expense by God, which was the life of his only son, so that we could be reconciled to God. So that greatest need met at the greatest expense, that's the greatest form of love. So man, you are loved. If you're listening to this podcast, man, you are loved. Dave, you are loved. And man, I think when we walk in that truth and that realization in our lives, love does truly change everything about our lives. That might be a familiar saying to you, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little familiar. I'm listening and I'm thinking, if I were to play devil's advocate with you, and I'm doing this because I think that there's like even people who might be thinking this. All right, cool. I get that. I get the gospel. Now it's time. Like, give me the good stuff. Give me the deeper stuff. What would you respond to? You know, like, give me the stuff I need. Okay, I got it. Cool. You know, I feel like the rich young ruler. Yep, did it. Got the gospel. Prayed a prayer. But now I want to like really go deep in this Jesus thing. What would you say to someone who says that?
Yeah, I think that's normal. I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot. And I work with a lot of church planters and a lot of guys who have seminary experience and, you know, further, you know, extended degrees and stuff in the scriptures. And the guys that I know that are walking out the most healthy relationship with Jesus and the most impactful ministries on this earth are guys who just can't get over the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because think of this. What could be better than that? Like, what? There is nothing deeper than the gospel. I mean, theology is all based on our understanding of the gospel, right? Mm, yep, the exactly. application of the Christian life, the disciplines of the Christian life, every worship, using our giftings. I mean, all these things that people want to go on and say, okay, now I'm ready for deeper things. All of those are hinging on the foundation, which is the gospel. And so instead of looking at the gospel as like the appetizer to the real meal, we have to understand that the gospel is the ingredient to every aspect of the Christian life. There is no Christian life if there's not the gospel.
Yes, and, exactly, yeah.
And I think if you're living your life and you've gotten over the gospel, then I would always say, then you've got to look back. I mean, what John is telling them, I mean, in his letter in 1 John, is just you consistently hear the story of God's love. God's love, loving other people, you know, loving other people the way God's loved us. Love, 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 love. He keeps going on and on about it, right? Now, there's a couple reasons I think this is important. The first one is this. You got to recognize who it is that's writing this letter. We're talking about Jesus' earthly best friend was John. Okay, John's the dude who had his head on Jesus' chest at the Lord's Supper. I mean, this dude's close to him. He was with Jesus at he was one of Jesus' top three, right? And if you know the Bible, you also realize that John's the same dude in the book of Revelation who sees the glorified Jesus. Like, he sees him as he is today, you know, with a white robe, with eyes like fire, with a voice like the roar of many waters, with a sword coming out of his mouth. I mean, just like, holy cow, like the glorified Jesus, right? And this John is the same John that would just say, focus on the gospel. Focus on the fact that you were loved by God enough that he sent Jesus for you. And don't get over that. And so that would be that. And then I think the other side of it is, again, the evidence for me in my life is anybody I know that I'm looking at and looking up to when it comes to the faith, or looking up to when it comes to the way that they live their life. The common theme in all of their lives is that they have a deep understanding, a deep respect for, and a deep love for the simple gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know of anybody, Dave, that's changing the world that doesn't. Yeah. I just don't.
Well, you just get to a place where I really feel like, for me, is as I'm fleshing out what you're saying, man, if you feel like there's more than the gospel, you don't get the gospel. Mm. You're missing the gospel. Then you have to go back to the gospel. And so even even for the unbeliever, right? Even for the person who's like, but like I was meeting with some people recently where they're just like, I don't know if I believe this. Like, I know I should, but like, I don't know. And there's nothing else to offer but the gospel, right? Like I can give you all the reasons why I believe and apologetics and try to prove it to you, but that's not going to make your heart go, oh yes, this is it. It's not going to make your heart kind of skip a beat. But what's going to make your heart skip a beat is when you hear the gospel and by God's grace and that it's like a diamond that you just keep rotating and looking at every angle. It's all the same story. It's all the same message. But all of a sudden, by God's grace, that angle goes, wow, that was it. My heart just leaped out of my chest when you told me that. You know, and that's, for me, it's like I had heard the gospel a million different ways. But the way that it was communicated through that song for me, and everything that had built up to that moment for me by God's grace, like my sin and everything, my whole story, it was like that was that moment that it, like my, again, the scales came off my eyes. I saw it. And it's like, that's all I've wanted to look at ever since was once you see Jesus, the face of Jesus, the glory of Jesus in the gospel, right? It's like, you don't want to look away. You can't look away.
Yeah. And I think of it this way. I've got a Bible sitting on my desk that I'm looking at, and you know, if somebody is a believer and they're saying, I want something deeper than the gospel, this would be my argument. You could take any theology out of the scripture and have the gospel remain, and we still have eternal life, and the kingdom of God is still at hand, right? But if you take only the gospel out of the scripture, just if you take out the story of Jesus dying for our sins, being buried, coming alive again, and giving us a hope for eternity and sending the Holy Spirit. Take that out of the scripture, you could dive as deep as you want to into any theological understanding in the scripture, but you'd still be dead in your sins, right? Yeah. So that's why I'm just saying, like, if you're going to stake your life and stake your everything on anything in the Bible, stake it on the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the hope for eternity. It's like when the Apostle Paul says in one of his letters, you know, hey, listen, maybe you guys don't get this, but here's the understanding. If there is no resurrection, then our whole faith is a joke. We should be of all people pitied. Like Christianity without a deep understanding and application of the gospel is really a crazy, silly, stupid way to live your life. But if the gospel is true and Jesus really did come out of the grave and he really is alive and the resurrection of the dead is a real thing, not only in Jesus' resurrection, but in our resurrection from this life into the next life, if that is all a real thing, then I'm just going to tell you, then the gospel is worth everything. It's worth all of our life. It's worth all of our breath. It's worth the way we live our lives with our families. It's worth the decisions we make at work. It's worth everything. But man, if you take that part out and you're trying to seek for some deeper form of spirituality, then it's just useless. That's what the Apostle Paul would say.
That's exactly. It makes me think, what you're saying makes me think of that flawed, what I believe to be a flawed argument that some philosopher used in the past. I think it was Pascal, where he says, if I believe in all of this and it's not true, what's the big deal? What's the risk, right? All right, hell doesn't exist and I'm fine. But if you don't believe in this and you're wrong, think about the risk. Now you have hell to deal with. And a lot of people use that argument, like, well, I believe, but you know, if I'm wrong, who cares? And Paul says something totally opposite, which is what you're just saying, where he's like, man, if this isn't true, what a pitiful life I've lived, right? Like, look at my life and what I've gone through for this truth. And so to kind of take what you're saying and kind of redirect us to hair is the idea of like that is how valuable the gospel is that, man, this is not something that we believe because it's probably going to get us out of hell, but no big deal if it's not true. It's like, no, our lives should be so consumed by that, by this truth, that if it isn't true, what a waste of a life, right? Like what kind of a life have we lived? And that just goes to show you how much the gospel changes your life. The gospel changes your life so radically that Paul says, man, if this isn't true, what a waste of a life I've lived, because I've risked everything for this. I've given every second of every day to this.
Yeah, that's right.
And what a waste.
That's right.
Rather than saying, oh, well, I didn't go to hell anyway, so I'm good either way.
Well, and I think that's what the idea is, the flaw in that is a misunderstanding of what the Christian life really is. Like, I would say that that statement is true for the average Christian in America, and that is, their life really wouldn't be that different even if they didn't believe this, so really who cares at the end?
Yeah.
But the Christianity that's being described in the scriptures, the life that the Apostle Paul lived, just as you said, these men risked everything. These women risked everything, and their life, they were to be pitied. Why? Because they were left out of the popular crowd. They were left out of the ability to influence the world in politics. They were left out with the ability to really be somebody in the arts community. They were outcast to the rest of the world because they were a, you know, in many ways, people looked at the Christianity in the early, you know, world as a cult that was just a bunch of weirdos that believed that some dead guy was actually alive, right? That's kind of the way it was looked at by people. And yeah. So the first century Christians would have been a pitied people if the gospel wasn't really true. But man, in our lives today, we just kind of embrace the life that everybody else lives, and the gospel is just an additive to our life. So I think when you see the gospel as an additive, well, then if it's not really true, well, it's just like I took a little salt out of my meal, right? Mm. But dude, when you realize that the gospel is your meal, it is your life, it is your sustenance, well, then you take that out and then you're starving. There's nothing left. Mm. So I think the reason that idea is embraced by people is because, you know, we all, and when I say this, bro, let's be honest, none of us really get the gospel. I mean,
yeah,
like,
true.
Like,
yeah.
I just when I think I get the gospel, I realize it's like I'm standing at the beach and I've just, you know, when you first put your feet in the water and yeah. it's hitting your feet, that would be like me saying, oh, well, now that my feet have touched the water, I have now seen all the oceans. Like, come on, dude. Like, we could spend the rest of our lives discovering the ocean and we would never have seen even a glimpse of it. And if that's just the ocean, which was created by God in a moment with a word, imagine the greatest story of all time, that the world itself was created to understand the love of God, right? So I'm just saying, dude, if we can't embrace all the ocean is in our small lifetime here on earth, how in the world will we ever be able to embrace the power of the gospel for all eternity?
The fact, I mean, I love that ocean illustration. I think that's so powerful because it's so true. I mean, the gospel that we're talking about, because some people are hearing this and they're going, Dave, Jason, I get it. But at the same time, the gospel that I know is so simple and so like, okay, Jesus died for sin on a cross. Like, what ocean? What are you talking about, an ocean? It's three lines. The whole thing is three lines deep, right? Like, I don't need a lifetime to learn more about it. I don't get it. And I think I'm curious here how you would kind of walk someone through that. But even just as I'm thinking about it for my life, man, I think what we fail to realize is that the story that God has been writing since before time has always been a story that has pointed towards the gospel. Mm. It has always been and again, to take that one step further, it's the gospel that displays Jesus, right? So it's even Jesus is the end goal of all of this, right? That his face would be, that he'd be glorified, and that his face, he'd be displayed for all of creation. And so when someone's like, yeah, I get it, he died on the cross, cool, whatever, but every line of the scriptures point to that truth.
Dude, so,
right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing that people don't see, is that it's we're not just talking about that simple, it is the simple gospel. That simple gospel has been a story God's been telling. I mean, literally in creation, he told it, right? I think something that always blows my mind is when people point to gospel illustrations that God was using and telling since before time, right? When you look at Adam and Eve, and God curses the snake, and he says, you know, Eve's seed, you know, Eve's child will crush you. You'll try to bruise his heel, or you will bruise his heel, but he will crush you. It's like, that's a reference to the cross. Mm. Like, the son of Adam and Eve, Christ, you know, the man, God, will crush you. You'll bruise him. The cross will look like you've won, but it'll only be a loss. Like, he will have crushed you. It's like, you hear things like that. You hear God, you know, God's the first one who kills in the garden. He kills an animal so that he can get the skins and cover, you know, almost like a sacrifice, almost like a reference to the gospel itself. And so it's like, that's, we're just three chapters into the Bible and we're already talking about the gospel.
Well, dude,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Give me like 2 minutes, because this is a perfect example. So this week at Pine Lake, the church that I serve at, our pastor Chip taught us from the story in Numbers 20, where Moses strikes the rock twice, water comes out, and then God tells Moses, you know, you defiled me, you know, among the people. Like, you did not treat me as holy, therefore you won't enter the promised land. And like, if you read that story, you're like, God is a jerk. Like, what? Like, Moses served God faithfully for 80 years, and he strikes the rock twice instead of speaking to it, and God doesn't let him enter the promised land? What? Right? But anyway, so let's just go with me for a second. Like, it just hopefully in this moment, my eyes, your eyes, and the eyes of anyone listening will be open to the power and beauty of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, so check this out. The first time that Moses, he brought forth water from that rock, he struck the rock because God told him to strike the rock. And he was supposed to strike the rock. So he struck the rock, and he was supposed to strike it once. He struck it once. The water came flowing out, and people drank. And it was an incredible thing. Well, what we don't realize at that moment, now we can realize, you know, thousands of years later, is that God is trying to paint a picture for his people to understand what he is about to do. So the next time they find themselves back at this rock, God says, speak to the rock and the people will have water. Well, Moses is mad. He's frustrated because the people don't believe. And what's so interesting is multiple times throughout the story of Moses and God's people, and Moses and Aaron, God's people, God is angry and about to smite his people, and Moses is begging God, right, to please don't do it. Well, in this situation, God's not mad. The people are frustrated. They've been in the desert. They're thirsty. And so they're asking for water, and Moses is mad. And God says, well, just speak to the rock and they'll have water. See, God's not mad, but Moses is mad. And there's multiple reasons for that. But one of them is Moses' sister has just died. And the very next sentence, the statement is that the people are complaining. And so you can see that Moses is like, dude, I'm going through something right now. And, you know, I can't believe you guys have the audacity to attack me during this moment. Now, that became real to me, because that actually has happened in multiple times in my life, where I was walking through something difficult, and it was just at that time that somebody decided that they were going to attack me. And it's like very difficult, you know, to go through. It's like, how dare you? You know, well, I know exactly how Moses is feeling. So God says, speak to the rock. Well, Moses is like, no, I'm about to speak to this rock. So he chastises the people and tells them how terrible that they are, and how, you know, how they have no faith, and how they stink. You know, he just goes off on them, and then he strikes the rock twice, and then they drink. And you think, okay, well, it's not that big of a deal. The water came out. Well, then God says, you didn't treat me as holy. Now, why is that so important? Now, check this out. Later in Scripture in the New Testament, the Bible says that the rock was Jesus. In the New Testament, it speaks that the rock that traveled with God's people in the wilderness was Jesus. In other words, it was the depiction of Jesus. The first time to get water or life from the rock, it had to be struck. But the second time, God commanded Moses to just speak to the rock, right? And why Moses didn't enter the promised land is because he was messing with God's story of redemption to his people. He was making what should have been very clear, unclear. See, Jesus only needed to be stricken once, right? But he will never have to be stricken again. Jesus reigns, right? And when you need life, all you have to do is speak to the rock. You say, Jesus, please, and he'll give it to you, right? And so we don't have to crucify Jesus every single time we mess up. We don't need to crucify Jesus every single day to get life. That's already happened in the past tense. Jesus was stricken for our iniquities, but he will never be stricken again. He reigns eternal. And so you just think about, like, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the reason that God is so angry with Moses and does not allow him to enter the promised land isn't because he hit a rock twice, but because God was trying to communicate and set a picture for people to understand the gospel message that would come 1,000 years later, right? And so here we read it 3,000 years later, And we see that that's why it's so important. You see, God's not this big jerk who doesn't let people, but God is very serious about his people understanding the importance of the gospel. And when we teach in such a way, or we illustrate in such a way that makes little of the gospel or treats the gospel like it's not necessary, then, you know, that doesn't make God very happy. So anyway,
I don't preach,
dude,
right
I'm
there.
Just telling you, when I like heard that. That man, I was about to get up. I was like, okay.
That to me is one of my favorite parts, is as you dive into the Bible, you can see that the gospel wasn't plan B. It's not like God was like, wow, this whole thing isn't going to work. You know, I tried the flood. They came back. The people came back. Like, I got to find another way to like figure this thing out with these people that I've created. It's like, no, the plan was always Jesus. It was always the gospel. It was always this story that God's been writing since before time. So no, I love it. I love it. And Jason, I know your time's valuable. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. What do you got to kind of leave these people with? Anything special you got to leave us with?
Well, dude, first, I just want to thank you for the time, man. Thank you for everybody's listening. I'm just grateful to know that people care enough to say, man, I want to explore, you know, this whole faith thing a little bit more. And, man, I just so appreciate, David, your heart to start ODG. And I know when you and I were first talking about it, I remember when you were first kind of casting a little bit of a vision for why you're going to start the company. You know, the understanding is that, man, there's a lot of people who don't, a lot of believers who don't really know how to share their faith and don't know how to, it's not that they don't know the facts of their faith, it's just they don't really know how to start the conversation. Like, where, how do you do that? Well, one of the cool things about ODG Apparel is, like, for example, when I wear my Bear Fruit sweatshirt, people will say, I can't tell you how many times, every time I've worn it, I've gotten the opportunity to somehow, some way connect that shirt to Jesus. And I didn't even have to get all preachy and weird. They asked me, what does your shirt mean? Mm. Well, then I was able to give them an answer. So I think that's the point of ODG. Well, I'll just share you this story. So my son was repping one of, it's a sweatshirt that has a Greek phrase on it that means something to the effect of lift up your head or to rejoice in the midst of suffering. And so we went over to our pastor's house, and, you know, he has a doctorate in Greek, so he knows Greek. So Cy walks in, my son, and he's got this sweatshirt on. And our pastor says, oh man, nice sweatshirt. I love what it says, you know, just to rejoice or lift your head. And so I was like, huh? You know, and then it was funny in that moment because perfect example, like there's not many people who know Greek. Mm. So it just so happens that our pastor does. So he knew what it meant. But for anybody else who wears that sweatshirt, who's walking around, what's going to happen is someone's going to say, hey, what does your shirt say? What does that mean? Well, dude, if you know what that means when you purchase the sweatshirt and you rep it, you now have an open door to communicate, hey, it's about lifting, being able to lift up our head and rejoice in the midst of difficult times because God loves us and because he's given us Jesus, you know? And I mean, it's like, it's softball. It's like, it's literally, what I love about OG, it's like coach pitch. It's like we're throwing the ball right down the middle because we're wanting you to hit it. Like in coach pitch, like the coach of the team that's batting is the one that's pitching. And his desire is not to try to strike his people out,
good point.
His kids out. It's trying to get them to set them up to win.
That's good.
And so I'd say the same thing. The company exists to try to put believers in situations to be able to win, right? And so I would just say, man, rep the clothing line, not just because, you know, I think it's great, you know, a great opportunity for Dave, but man, it's a great opportunity for you as a believer to say, hey, this is my open door to conversations with people. And man, it's always better to share the gospel as an answer to a question someone else is asking versus trying to bully your way into a conversation to get them to ask a question that they're not asking.
That's good. I love it. Hey, I'll pay you a little extra for that commercial you just gave us.
No, just send me the goods, baby.
Jason, thank you so much for your time. I love you, man. Keep living it. Keep seeking Jesus. I know it's a lot that you have going on in your life and a lot of ministry that you live. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for your wisdom and everything. So man, thank you so much for this. It's been an honor.
That's been fun, dude. Love you guys.
There it is, guys. Episode number 4 is in the books with my man, Jason. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did having that conversation with him. And he even gave me a little commercial at the end. I gotta thank him for that later. Totally not on purpose, but it just sort of happened, so I love it. I hope that you guys were encouraged by this. I hope you're encouraged by the vision of this company. This isn't just about cool clothing. It's about opportunities for the gospel. Even this podcast, right? Like, there's no intention of selling any sort of shirt or sticker or whatever on this podcast. If it happens, awesome. But man, I love the fact that I have, you know, thousands of people who are hearing the gospel proclaimed by some really awesome dudes. So if you have anybody that you want on the podcast, shoot us a DM on Instagram or a Facebook message, or chat with us on Snapchat. We've been super into Snapchat lately. So go add us on Snapchat, shoot us a message or whatever. Chat with us. We are there listening to you guys. Subscribe to our podcast. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. We're going to start to add it onto YouTube here soon, so you can subscribe there as well. Just honestly, wherever you find your podcast, subscribe, review, tell your friends. Yeah, it really means a lot. So keep seeking Jesus, guys. We will see you next week for our next podcast.